All right, Matthew chapter 8, going to preach on a day called the Great Need to Hear from God. The Great Need to Hear from God. Just continuing going through the Bible. But in Matthew 8, in verse number 5, you'll notice that the Word of God does say this. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Thank God for somebody who has compassion and pray for somebody else. Amen. I mean, is a servant, and he's coming to Jesus by his servant. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Thank God for the character of Jesus Christ. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto them that follow, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. For the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Now, I'm sure you picked it from the context that here's a man got a servant in terrible condition, and he needs help. And he needs help from God. He brings his servant to Jesus for help. Jesus gives great confidence, and he tells the centurion that he's going to come and heal him. And the centurion tells him something that is rather amazing. He could have enjoyed the privilege of having Jesus come in the flesh, to be there for the need of his servant. But he says, I don't need to see you. You don't need to be there. He said, basically, all I need is to hear from you. If you'll just speak the word only, I know everything's going to be all right. So he said, if I just hear from you, then I know all will be well. So a few simple points to the great need to hear from God. Number one, hearing from God is hope in a crisis situation. Hearing from God is hope in a crisis situation. Because his servant is at home and he's grievously tormented with the palsy. That's like a paralytic type condition. I knew a friend of mine that was Pastor Robert Allen that really the Lord used to help disciple me and to encourage me in the Lord as a young believer and follower of Christ. And he got cerebral palsy. And I remember how it affected his whole being. He couldn't move, and to the point where he could no longer even function in ministry. And so this servant, he is grievously tormented, and he's in a situation that the centurion can't help. Nobody can help. But he says, I know, I believe that if I'll just hear from God, as bad as his situation is, then this situation is going to be all right. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Number two, hearing from God is greater confidence than anything you will ever find in yourself. Hearing from God is greater confidence than anything you will ever find in yourself. Because notice what he says in verse number 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. You know, this self-confident world we live in has us on an endless search to find something within our being, an inner strength, an inner power, an inner ability to try to be able to conquer, to accomplish. And as many of you know, when I was younger and practicing Kung Fu and all the meditation and really thinking that I was going to bring out this power from within. And I came home one night and my brother was sitting there in the dark trying to move the television set. I realized we were getting a little too deep at that moment. You know,
I realized maybe we kind of lost a little focus here, and I didn't even know God yet, but I'm thinking, okay, I think we're pushing the envelope here. But even still, after that, it was part of me, and even as a believer in Christ, for many years, I was looking for something within me to give God a reason to work through me, to give God a reason to use me, when basically all God wants from me is to hear His Word and see His direction. And as I follow Him, that all I have to do is do what He says. And if I'm where He wants me to be, whatever He wants to use me for, He can do it. As I've mentioned often, the story of Jonah. Jonah, what God used him to go preach to the Ninevites, and the whole city was saved, and Jonah didn't even like the Ninevites. Jonah didn't even care about the Ninevites. You know, the way we think today, he would have had to have great compassion, great love, and all he finally did was obey God against his own will, and God used him to save an entire city. And so he knew what God had spoken, he trusted what God had said, and God used him in a way beyond you and I could, that's even unbelievable to think about today. And so if we hear from God, that's greater than anything you'll ever find in yourself. You know, through the years, learning to parent and learning to even be a better husband, you know, the things that I do right as a husband come by just hearing what God said about how to be a better husband. First few years of trying to do some of these things that are in the Bible, I didn't like them. I just did it because it was right. You know, God didn't change my heart. And He gave me a heart of compassion and a heart of love. And it's amazing how doing what's right, God will transform you. And even though I couldn't find anything good in me, I found good what He said in His Word. And God began to transform and change my thinking about the way I handle things. Even in parenting and even in pastoring, sometimes you just do that which is right to then give of yourself because God said to you. And as long as you heard and speak the Word, you can rest upon that. You know, even in witnessing, you know, I was witnessing someone recently and they're saying, I hope you don't feel like you're wasting your time. I said, oh, no. I said, we're talking about Jesus, man. This is great stuff for me. I mean, no matter how long it takes, it's worth the investment, you know. And I witnessed someone even yesterday and was saying how the Bible said, great peace have they that love that law, and nothing shall offend them. I said, I love the law of God. I don't care. I want you to know Him. I want you to know God. But at some point you tell me you don't even believe in God. You don't even believe in Jesus. I'm going to love you just the same. And because I'm committed to that which the law of God says, and I have great confidence that what God has spoken, that's what I'm supposed to preach. That's what I'm supposed to teach, even if it seems like it's not catching root sometimes. Because you'll be amazed when you witness to people and you share Christ with people that somebody's getting help, even if it's just you. Amen. But the centurion said, you know what? I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy enough for you to come into my house. He's not looking in himself for anything within him to get his servant help. You know, I think to me that's a great encouragement. I cry out to the city for mercy. As I cry out to you for mercy, and for me for mercy, that God will work in all of us, that we, each one of us here, will fulfill God's plan for our life. You know, I'm not worthy that God should come be present in my heart and in my life. But the Word says that He said, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. The Word says, pray without ceasing. The Bible said, whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. God spoke the Word. And so greater than anything I see in myself, I just keep praying for mercy. I keep calling out for me, for you, for Parkdale, for Toronto and beyond, for everybody I know, because I heard what He said about the difference that prayer makes. I heard what He said about moreover, brethren. Turn it. In fact, turn it first. I think it's 1 Corinthians. Let's see if we can find it. Chapter 4, maybe. If not, one of my phone people can look it up for me if I'm looking at the wrong passage here. 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4, powerful verse in the Bible. This is a life-changing verse if you'll actually listen to it. 1 Corinthians 4. Moreover, it is required, verse 2. Everybody, say amen if you're with me.
Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found perfect. Anybody's Bible say that? But you know, that's the reason a lot of people give up when trying to serve God, because they try to do something and think, well, I can never be perfect like that. You know, some people even that say they've been saved, they don't even try to do that, which is right, because they say, well, I just can't do that. But God said, just be faithful. And just pray. You know, when you sin, there's a great verse in the Bible that God spoke, by the way. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Be faithful in confessing. And you'll find God, then you'll eventually find yourself possessing this strength to do what God wants you to do. And don't just give up. Don't keep looking at yourself. Well, you know, I tried that before. It's not working. I don't have enough self. I don't have enough willpower. I don't have enough strength. Well, I can tell you, you're right. You don't. And I don't either. But He has it. And it's not based on what you see in yourself. The hope comes by what God has said. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And that's independent of what you see in yourself. And that's even, if you really are one of God's children, that's actually independent of how you currently may be serving the Lord even. And just believe what He spoke, and that's greater than anything you will ever find in yourself. And say, God, hey, we read in Psalm 139, Lord, You know me. So, Lord, help me. And help me to be what You want me to be. And God will help you, because if you hear that from Him. Now, you can't hear that from me. Now, although I just said it, if you allow yourself to hear that from the Holy Spirit, you realize, wow, you know what? Maybe I've been giving up on being faithful too early. Maybe I've been giving up on, you think, well, you know, I can never pray like I'm supposed to. Maybe you tried it. Maybe you set some type of goal. You're going to pray every morning, pray every night, pray a certain time, and you haven't been faithful to it. Well, the Bible still says pray without ceasing. So start praying right now. Start praying while I'm preaching. Say, God, speak to me. Even right now, you may say, God, I'm not getting anything out of this. Lord, pray for me. Lord, help me. Help me to hear something from You. I want this time to count for something, you know. And pray without ceasing. Start right now. You'll be amazed how God will minister to you and do something in your heart and life. Back in our text in Matthew 8. So hearing from God is the hope in a crisis situation. Hearing from God is greater confidence than anything you ever find in yourself. Number three, hearing from God is the key to the greatest faith in the nation. Hearing from God is the key to the greatest faith in the nation. Verse 9, for I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that follow, verily, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. So within the nation of Israel, this one centurion just simply said, you know what? If you'll just speak it, I believe it. If I just know You spoke, if I hear from You, Jesus said, wow, I've not found any faith like that in the nation. You know, the Christian life often seems so impossible because we discount actually hearing from God. And really, we've done it to ourselves, really, because we've made it so intellectual, and we've made it to where if you just know all these principles and can memorize these Bible verses and know these statements about the faith, then you must be doing all right. No, you need to hear from God. And when you read the Bible, you need to have confirmation. The greatest thing about salvation is having the Holy Spirit live inside of you. So when you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit says, yeah, that's you, man. Or, yeah, that's you, young lady. Or, yeah, that's you, whoever you are. And, oh, yeah, Lord, You are talking to me. And it's amazing how easy the Spirit of God ministers, how easy you can go forward and do that which is right when you actually are wanting to hear from God. And the Bible takes a whole different meaning when you're looking at it to read, to have God speak to you rather than just find something to do or to justify what you're doing. You know, I remember once, several years ago, somebody asked me, but what does the Bible say about this? And I said, well, before I answered that question, I said, do you have a heart that really wants to do anything that God wants? And they said, well, I don't know. I said, well, I'm not going to answer the question then. Because it don't matter. Because if you don't have a heart to do whatever God wants, then it's not going to do you any good to know what God said on this matter. And so we have to have a heart that wants to hear His voice. And when we hear His voice, that is the glue that says, oh, this really is true. This really is what we want. And a centurion here, he could have personally had Jesus in the flesh as he walked through this time, come to his house. Jesus already said he would heal him. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. But he said, no, I don't need any of that. All I need to know, Jesus, is that you are the one that said it. When's the last time you simply asked God to speak to you? I mean, yes, read the Bible. Say, Lord, speak to me as I read the Bible. Because when you hear from Him, the crisis situation takes on a whole new meaning. Because His voice, because when you hear from God in the crisis, you know how you hear God as? You hear Him as the Lord that He is. You hear Him as the Almighty One that He is. If I speak to you in a crisis situation, you know that there's only so much I can do to help you. But if you hear from God in a crisis situation, you're like, man, there's hope now. I mean, I can tell you, I can give you a glimmer of hope, but you know there's guaranteed hope when you hear it from Him. And I tell you, if you're one of those people trying to find enough faith in yourself to be what God wants you to be, you're never going to find it. You've just got to hear what God says and obey Him and trust Him. You know, because we're living in a situation now where people know more religiously about God than the world ever has. And there's less power and ability to simply walk with Him. You know, I think about even relationships. You know, you would think by now marriages are still failing at over 50%. That's in church and outside of church. And, you know, because people don't want to hear from God in their marriages. Everybody still wants to govern it by their own idea. You know, nobody should have any problem with any relationship, any marriage now, because there's so much information out there. And if enough failed ones, surely you can learn by somebody else's failure. But what gives me confidence in my marriage, what gives me confidence is going in and waking up in the day and say, Lord, I need you to show me how to minister to Susan today. And I need you to give me the spirit to minister today. You know what amazing is about that? God speaks. He shows me how. And I enjoy, but again, if the Lord, if you just speak the word, I'll do it. And before I was like, because y'all know my, can I be real? Can I be real when I'm preaching? Y'all don't mind if I'm real, do you? Y'all know Susan's been sick a long time. And it's really been continuing off and on through our marriage. And there's times I just get frustrated. And so, Lord, when's this going to give? But I think it was last year, I wrote Susan a letter. And I said, I'm so thankful that God chose me to be the one to minister to you through all the hurts of your childhood, through all the struggles in your life, and even through your sickness. You know where I got that from? I heard it from Him. God spoke that to me. And before I saw it as words in the faith, a husband love your wife like Christ loved the church and gave Him support. Now we all understand what that means, but who wants to do it? And until you hear it, and once God spoke it, then it changed the way I approach every single thing that I do. And so to the centurion here, you know, if you want to have a faith that stands out in this world, in fact, let me just say, like, the centurion wasn't looking for his faith to stand out. He actually got a great commendation by simply just believing what God said. You know, I wrote a song years ago, and when's the last time you met with the Lord? Talking about how Moses, when he met on Mount Horeb, and he met the Lord the first time in that burning bush, you know. And when's the last time you met with the Lord? And Alexa wrote a beautiful song years ago called Do You Remember? And all the time, when's the last, do you remember what God's done for you? And all these things God wants, don't lose what the most powerful thing of the Christian life is hearing from God. This, because you just can't intellectually assimilate information and have great faith. You've got to hear from Him. Last of all, number four, hearing from God is the only way to please God. And go to Romans chapter 10. A couple of verses here and we're done. Romans chapter 10. in verse number 17, first of all. Romans 10, verse 17. Romans 10, notes what the Word of God says. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith, we got to have faith to hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But it didn't just say reading the Word of God is hearing. Hearing comes by the Word of God. Reading the Word of God is the measure and the means by which we hear. And as you read the Word of God and you hear what God has spoken, then you're able to trust and do what God has said. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And then in Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, verse you may be familiar with, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if we don't have faith, it's impossible to please him. If you don't have a desire to please God, that's another story altogether. I pray for your salvation. I pray you'll be born again. And you'll come to know him. If you get to know him, you'll want to please him. Amen. But you think about the gospel that God will forgive. He'll save you of your sins and make you one of his children, eternally secure and settled. And you're no longer under condemnation of the things you've done. And that's settled forever. And yet you can still make mistakes. But God said, "You're still my child." He'll chasten you. But he didn't remove that. I mean, that's the gospel. That's the good news. You know, And you think, who could love me like that? Who would give me eternal security, eternal destination, eternal distinction, eternal father, I said eternal, I think, eternal father. I'm creating some new words here. and say, if you're justified forever, love. See, that's one of the proofs of God. The gospel is one of the greatest proofs that God is love. Because anything else would just be a good deal. You know, it would be a good deal if we'd be saved and God said, you follow these laws and I'll keep you saved. That would be a good deal. But the good news is the gospel says, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll save you, I'll give you eternal life, and you'll never perish. Never. Why? God, how could it be? Well, because the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Didn't say most sin, but he cleanses us from all sin. But Lord, really, how can that, is it possible? Well, because there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Wow, Lord, that's good news. Lord, what can I do for you? You gave me life. All the stuff I've done, my past, you've forgiven all that, my present. And Lord, you even know what I'm going to do in the future. And your blood has cleansed away all that, and you still, knowing the mistakes I'm going to make, the sins I'll commit sometime, you're still not going to remove me as one of your children? Lord, everybody needs to know you. There's nobody in the world that's like that. There's nobody in the world that loves like that. Lord, help me to introduce people to you. Help me to be faithful to you. Help me in a crisis to just tell me what you want, what the crisis is about, and I'll trust you. I don't need to see anything in me because I see everything in you. Because you just speak it and I'll trust it. And the faith that the nation is missing can be found in you. You know, one of the things about the media that really, one of the things I really, they're really disappointed in is, I guess, the Christian denomination of Republicans. They're calling it a denomination, but it's Republican faith, and I'm not pro-democratic either. I'm not pro anything but Jesus. But I'm saying when you start mixing something that doesn't meant to be mixed, you know, you get a wrong perspective of what Christianity really is about. And you know, and so many people are so tied in to this political form of Jesus operating that they don't understand the magnitude and the reality of what the gospel message is. And we just need, and people are looking for some type of great thing to happen in the nation. And where I was trying to go with this is that all this media stuff is a forum to condemn somebody for not acting right, and even condemn the faith of other people rather than somebody saying, you know, Lord, if you just speak it, I'll trust it. And Jesus, in the midst of a nation, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, Jesus can look down and say, you know what? I hadn't seen any faith like that at all anywhere. And you think, what was so great about the faith? Well, they simply said, Lord, if I know you said it, I'll trust you in the most critical situation. Lord, if I know you said it, I'll trust you to be faithful. Lord, if I know you said it, I just believe it. And I'll rest the hope of someone I care deeply about in that if you just simply said it. That's what the centurion did regarding his servant. He's tormented, he's lying to faith at death. He said, Lord, all I got to know is you said it. You know, the Bible says, serve the Lord must not strive, but they have to achieve. One of the greatest victories in pastoring, though I cry sometimes and weep for people that don't want to walk with God and are struggling in their spiritual walk, there's a great release to say, okay, Lord, you told me not to strive. You told me to be faithful. You told me to commend them to God. And so, Lord, that's all I can do. And I believe that that's a lot that can make a difference. You told me to go out and sow this seed. You told me to put these gospel tracts out to people and witness to people, you know. When I witnessed that Jewish man the other day, I was thinking he didn't really respond super positively. I thought, you know, man, he just heard the gospel, though. Got too many preaching gospel to every creature. One guy kicked me out of a restaurant here on Queen Street, putting track down when I was having breakfast. And I said, man, but someone got it before he kicked me out. I thought, praise God. Amen. Because it's like dynamite. You know, if this thing was so powerful, the message of love, that anybody can be forgiven, anybody can be saved, anybody can be born again, become a child of God, that, you know, there's got to be something right about that. If somebody went, no, I don't want that in here. I don't want you around telling people that, you know, that God will love them and God will change their life and God will give them eternal life. He'll forgive them all their past, all their present, all their future sins. No, we don't want that kind of stuff in here. And this stuff about loving your enemies and blessing them to persecute you. We don't, you know, we need more hatred in the world, not more love. Now, nobody says that, but isn't that what you're saying when you push out the gospel? My soul. But there's a great need today to hear from God. I'm so glad you're here. God's glad you're here. But He wants you to hear from Him today. Maybe this message, maybe even in this message you haven't heard from Him, maybe all this message is a catalyst for you to say, Lord, would you please speak to me? If you're born again and you'll be saved in a period of time, well, you know the moments you have heard from God. Maybe it's been a while. And I encourage you to try to make it a daily opportunity. And then when that happens, anything that God wants you to do will take on more zeal and be more excited about doing it. Because if you're not in a great crisis right now, you will be in one. And what you hear from me and what you hear from your best friend, what you hear from your buddies and your BFF and whatever, I guess, is BFF go for men and women or no, BFF is, what's that? Best female friend? Is that what that means? Best friend forever. Okay, see, I didn't know. I'll mostly just see women use it. I don't see guys use BFF because I guess we're macho. We don't know what you're about. That's my homie. So your BFF, it can't really change your crisis situation. You need to know what God has said about that situation. That means they don't care. I'm not saying they don't care. I'm not saying they don't want to help. But I'm just saying they can't really affect your crisis situation like the sovereign God of the universe that made everything, that spoke light into existence, and say, you know what? There's nothing out here. I'm going to make this thing go earth. I'm going to hang it on nothing. I'm just going to spin that thing. And in fact, I shouldn't spin that finger up. I'm just going to hang it up there and spin it on nothing. The one that did all that is one that you need to hear his voice today. And just so you know how real this is, I promise you it's going to be great. It's going to be very difficult for some of you to ask God to speak to you, because that's how important this is. And to show the reality of it all, and the proof that it's going to be so difficult is that I'm not going to check up to see if you heard from God or not. I'm not even going to check to see if you even asked him. But to show the reality of how much every single one of us need God, it's going to be very difficult for some people in this room just to get along somewhere and say, God, you know, I haven't heard from you in a long time. Would you please speak to me? God, I've read about who you are. I've heard about things you can do, but I've heard about you. I've heard tell you, even a personal God. So you knew me. You knew Jeremiah in the womb before he was formed in the belly. You knew Jeremiah. Well, I need you to speak to me. You said, and you wrote a psalm, Psalm 29, about the voice of the Lord, how it's powerful and full of majesty. I don't remember the last time I really heard from you. Lord, would you just speak to me for your sake? Guide me. If you're a child of God, I mean, ask God to guide you. And he will, because he's a good father. But Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the great time to be with your people today. I thank you for the privileged opportunity to direct people to just to get an opportunity to hear your voice. Lord, you know my heart, but I'll say it. Well, Jesus said some things in prayer for their sake, so Lord, I'm going to say this part for their sakes. You know that I don't hear from you as much as I need to. And Lord, you know that I'm not trying to portray that I'm this perfect person that hears from you all the time. Lord, you know that I'm just trying to preach what you've spoken and to bring forth the reality of the great need to hear your voice. Father, I pray that every single one of us will hear your voice, that we'll know certain steps for our life. One thing you did speak, Lord, you said the steps of a good man were ordered of the Lord. So, Father, would you please speak to us, the next step you have for us? There's some in this room that may not even know you as their Savior, know you as the Savior of their life. God, I'll ask you on their behalf, would you speak to them? Would you reveal to them that they need to be saved by you? Please, Father, would you speak to them to that end right now in such a clear way they know it was not the voice of a man, but they know it came from you. And Father, if there be any of your children today that aren't, they really can't remember the last time we heard your voice, God, would you, number one, would you rebuke the devil? Father, would you please rebuke the devil and give faith to those who are your children to realize they can't actually hear from you. And let them not be discouraged that they can't remember the last time that they heard from you. But let them to be encouraged by the reality that you still want to speak with them. And you still want to have a personal, moment-by-moment, daily walk with them. Would you bind Satan's voice of condemnation? Allow them to recognize that you are given a loving and gracious invitation to your children to be intimate with you, to have fellowship with you, to walk with you. And Father, whatever needs are here that I don't have the spiritual wisdom to mention or even ask for, according to the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for every single one of your creation in this room, please, Father, would you allow your will to be done.